Rodrigo, yo soy la vida.
Hey, my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And I've been notified, I'm very hands-on, tactile, stimulated. I grab the microphone a lot. I move around with it. I like to have a hand mic walk around. I can't walk around, so I grab this one. Apparently, I grab it too much. I'm messing the arm up on it. I watched the video yesterday. Grabbing too much yesterday. So that's going to be the new pet project today.
That's what I was laughing about.
She was laughing at me on it. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day. Is that your phone?
I'm not turning it off.
Mine's on silent. Put on D&D.
It's on D&D.
Anyways, if you guys need anything, get a hold of us. The collagen joint support, probably one of the best joint support formulas in the world as far as this product. And if you really want to stack it strong, stack the collagen with the joint rebuilding formula. That's another formula we have that we've had for years that works really good in conjunction with the collagen peptides. So be sure to check that out. And Team Health Masters, get updates over here. Make sure you sign up. Put your name, email, Brewer Show, and the Health Masters. Subscribe. Because what happened was we used to use an old email format about 6 months ago. And our new marketing director, we got a brand new system about 6 months back that works really good, it's really efficient, but some names fell through the cracks. I've had people say, yeah, I'm not getting emails anymore. I know, I apologize, there's nothing we can do about it. We did a big transfer, data transfer, and just some emails just didn't go through. So if you need to sign up, call us if you can't figure it out online. We'll be happy to handle it over the phone, or you can sign up right there on the front page of the Brewer Show at brewershow.com, and be sure to get updates on your local, your local county commissioner meeting. Get updates on that too, because there's a lot of stuff going on that I'm reading right now, I've been going over. And be sure to check out the latest episodes on Brewer Show. I got some interesting news last night. I talked to one of my buddies who does a lot of contract work, and apparently Eric Prince just signed a contract with Haiti.
Well, he's probably going to have a challenge going down there with all the voodoo and all the corpses
walking around. I don't think he's
going to
have much
of
a challenge. They're all seals and Marsaw. If you guys know, Eric Prince has found a Blackwater. Now the owner of Academia, multi-billion-dollar defense contract company as far as...
They have their own little Air Force.
They got their own air support. I saw an article earlier here now. They said Blackwater founder teams up with Haiti government to fight gang violence. And apparently they signed a contract with him.
This is not going to go the way the teen violence wants it to go down there.
Well, they got to stop eating people. I mean, it reached the point in time. You got to stop eating
everybody. Don't you remember what happened years ago? They were underneath the rule, I think, of the French. And they made a pact with Lucifer.
That's the story.
Yeah, this is hundreds of years ago. And they said that if you'll get these guys out of here, we will basically worship you. And that's what I've heard. In fact, I heard Pat Robertson one time on the 700 Club, which I don't agree with everything he used to say, but sometimes he got things right. And that they made a pact with the devil. And so that whole island is steeped in voodoo.
Now,
that's
let
a fact.
Me clarify. I know some people from Haiti that are good people.
Yeah, they want to be out of Haiti.
They want to be out of Haiti. Yeah. Bro. That whole area.
Nobody wants to go back.
It's a mess. And so, Eric Prince, apparently, they're still 150 contracts.
Well, it was in Iraq a few decades ago, when
it was in the Iraq War. It was Blackwater.
No, don't you remember that a couple of those doggone members got shot or killed some of their rebellion, and they came in with air support.
Yeah,
with a minigun into a crowd.
Well, yeah, and they had
didn't they do this?
Well,
something like that.
A little bit. Blackwater did get in a little inkling of trouble back in the Iraq War for some war crimes on civilian casualties. I'm not going to get into that whole
story.
Didn't
they open up on a group of people?
They opened up on a group of people
from a helicopter.
Well, no, they were on the ground too. They had air support.
Well, yeah. And didn't they kill like 30 people, women and children too?
Nah, they wouldn't kill. Well, allegedly, but I mean. This is what happens when you sit in contract.
You know, remember that? What's that movie? Was it with Bruce Willis? What's the name of that?
It was The Siege, wasn't it?
The Siege?
Was it
New York?
Yes.
And the guy goes
martial
in.
Martial law.
Yeah, he goes, we want to have you guys deploy here. And he goes, no, you don't.
Well, here's the difference. That was the Marines getting brought into New York. These are private contractors.
Aren't they?
They're going to go, sir.
Are they going weapons free?
I don't know. They're going to look at see what's the rules of engagement. They're probably going to go weapons free.
Weapons free. Weapons free in Haiti.
I mean,
and if I was a contractor and they sent me in there weapons free in Haiti, I'd probably not want to go. It'd be a bloodbath, man. It'd be awful.
Some guys like that, though, man. They do a couple rotations. They do a couple tours. I mean, they make a lot more money, like $1,000, $1,500 a day.
They're killing people.
Killing people. What do you do? You let Haiti, they eat everybody till the island's gone?
Well, they don't eat everybody.
But anyways.
Supposedly they got corpses walking
Aaron
around.
Aaron Prince signed a contract with Haiti. I thought that was very interesting.
I mean, like
news.
Real zombies.
They're pretty weird.
Crazy
down there.
Stuff down there, crazy man. Stuff down drugs there. They put these people on.
Yeah. And now, one thing I did see earlier, too, this is an interesting article that got brought up, and I want to kind of address it. And it said there's a couple things that happened down there. Talking about with, where'd it go here? I had the article pulled up. I'm losing weight. Oh, yes. It says it here. It says the RFK canceling the Moderna bird flu contract. I talked about it yesterday in detail.
I pulled the same article up.
Yeah, and she's talking about now, this lady, Lauren Lee, is talking in detail about how this is bigger than what everybody's realized. This is big news because basically RFK Jr. pretty much put it out there. They said this week the Biden era plan to develop $700 million RNA bird flu vaccine scrapped quietly. The contract awarded to Moderna is now dead. The report by NPR says kind of gives it away. It says from RFK Jr., after a rigorous review, this is quoting him, after a rigorous review, we concluded that continued investment in Moderna's H5N1 RNA vaccine was not scientifically or ethically justifiable. You take that for what it is, meaning they were working on human trials with this. So what started happening in these clinical trials? So the reality is that RNA technology remains under-tested, and we're not going to spend taxpayer dollars repeating the same mistakes of the last administration and conceal legitimate safety concerns from the public.
It's not under-tested. That's a lie. That's simply not true.
That's true.
It was tested by DARPA for decades. I mean, it was part of the super soldier program, and it was ruled so dangerous, they said you can't use it on human subjects. This thing is tested. They knew. They told us yesterday, we covered that article, they knew in advance, before they released it, about
myocarditis
and pericarditis.
Cardiovascular problems.
And they warned them not to exercise and everything else. They said, yep. You know, oh, by the way, just let you know, before you do this, you're probably going to die from heart problems.
Yeah.
So have fun with all that. But we're going to get to you anyway. Don't you remember the people dropping dead in the doggone fields and the athletes, the 1,500 athletes that had heart attacks and died?
You know, we all have a tendency to have that short-term memory loss with some of the stuff, but you're right. I remember it was like every single day there was another NFL player, soccer player over in Europe. I'm 22-year-old, as good a shape as it gets, top-tier athlete, bam, heart attack on the field, dead.
Mm-hmm. That one black NFL player drops dead on the field.
Yeah, that was an incredible athlete.
He was dead for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they suddenly brought him back somehow. I'm still don't understand how they did all that.
But yeah.
Unless they used a body double. But the whole thing is just crazy. But no, in fact, she says, Lauren Lee says, he's not just canceling Moderna. He's going after the mRNA, in fact. So, I mean, so there you go. He's going to hopefully do that. And hopefully he's going to get this stuff off the market and get rid of it.
I'll give him credit, though, but he's been one of the only people that's actually been doing any of this stuff.
Well, the thing I like about him, and I don't like it from a logistics standpoint because it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't go after glyphosate, but he's picking the battles he can win.
That's true.
So even if he doesn't go after everything we want him to, he's still going to just going to chip away at this thing.
He's going to slowly dismantle. The problem with glyphosate now is it's so heavily used in agricultural aspects, it's going to be very difficult to get that stuff off the market because you're going to have these super weeds now that don't respond to anything but glyphosate.
Well, the problem is corn will be decimated because they can't control.
They won't control the weeds.
Because the corn basically is Roundup resistance.
Monsanto,
they can spray brand new corn plants with Roundup. It doesn't do anything.
It doesn't kill them.
But it kills the weeds.
But then the weeds, you stop spraying the Roundup on the weeds, there's no way you're going to
kill them. So here's how I would handle it if I was him. Now, I don't like this. I'd rather have Roundup completely off the market. I'd say, okay, if we're growing corn and we're doing it for ethanol, which we don't have to do, that's stupid, by the way. Yes. George W. just started that mess out. We're going to grow our way out of the fuel crisis. No, we've got a huge oil reserves in the United States. And if we really wanted to really get rid of oil problems, why don't we just go to Venezuela and refinance their refineries? When they took away their doggone money down there, they can't even get engineers. They have the largest oil fields in the world.
I was talking to one of our buddies we know that was from Venezuela. He said down there, even currently, fuel's like 20 to 30 cents a gallon.
Oh, yeah, because basically they have so much of it.
20 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
But, remember
gasoline is a byproduct of oil. In other words, they have to have gasoline that comes off the oil as they produce textiles and other
types
of compounds.
Products,
yeah,
exactly.
And drugs and everything else. I mean, so it's just they didn't know what to do with the gasoline, so they found they could pump it into cars, and that's one of the reasons they probably don't want to have as many electric cars. They could use Tesla technology, not Tesla the automobile, but Tesla, and charge those batteries as they're going down the road. They, by the way, they have that technology. They have the ability right now to take those Tesla cars and put certain types of aerial antenna things on them from the electromagnetic field that's on this planet and have them continually recharge themselves without ever plugging them in. That technology is available.
Well, see, the problem is if they do that,
they're going to have a glut of oil. They're going to have a glut of gasoline.
Well, and on top of that, though, too, they won't get to extract their money out of everyone with their charging stations everywhere.
Remember,
$50, $60 for a charge now.
J.P. Morgan was Tesla's partner, and they built the Wharton-Cliffe Tower up there in the Northeast.
Yep.
And that tower had a ground rod going, I think it was 100 meters or something like that, into the ground, out of pure copper. And they were pulling off the electromagnetic field of the planet.
Yep.
And they were able to transmit free electricity to everybody. In fact, they supposedly turned this thing on in 1908, and the Tunguska thing happened in Russia,
yeah,
where you had literally a million acres of forest blew up.
Acres,
he wanted to transmit the power.
Yeah.
And what it did, it accumulated scalar energy, and it just, when it hit that area over there, supposedly it blew up that giant forest, or they're saying there was a meteorite that hit. But the problem with that is they can't find any remnants of the meteorite. And it happened about the exact same time Tesla turned that thing on. And then he said, we're going to give free electricity to the world. And J.P. Morgan, who was an emissary of the Rothschild banking cartel, says, oh, contraire, if we can't make money on this, you know, if it's my nose is big enough that I've got to have free air. Thought you'd like that for a Friday. That we can't do this. We've got to have, everything has to be monetized.
Yeah.
And so that's where we are right now. And that all that Tesla technology that was supposedly given him from another dimension, I thought I'd mention that too. Remember, he died penniless in New York, and he basically, Westinghouse had hosed him over on a bunch of contracts for the Niagara Falls generating plants, and he owed millions, billions of dollars from power, didn't get it. And he died penniless, you know, with pigeons. And as soon as he died, boy, the FBI, and they came in there and they seized everything.
All his documents.
Because he had developed a death ray.
Yep.
Yeah, probably from the Wharton-Cliffe Tower stuff that he had done. So you need to read Nikola Tesla. I will give Elon Musk that. He picked a good name for that car company, Tesla.
He
really did. He really, really did. Now, here's another one we want to talk about this morning. And this is something that I don't really want to talk about, but I'm going to, because it's just kind of perverted. How porn and gaming sapped young men of their desire to work.
Well, that did do that, especially the young kids.
Now, let's look at this for a second. Now, nobody ever wants to cover this stuff on podcasts because it gets too weird, but we're going to do it anyhow. The rise of easy online entertainment means boys are disappearing into a digital world. I'm 22 and underemployed, one person writes on the question and answer website, Quora. I am wasting my entire day watching porn and browsing Facebook. Wait a minute. I'm wasting my entire day watching porn. Do you realize what that's doing to his brain? Now, this is going into an R-rated movie right now. This is R. This will be an R show today. Don't let the kids need to get turned off right now. If you got kids listening right now, cut
Friday,
that out.
It's Friday.
No, this did, no. I'm gonna start preaching a little bit here because I'm about to go weapons free. I'm about to get pissed off. Excuse my language.
Okay, it's one of these.
Well, no. So this is weapons free, R rated. Don't let kids listen to it past this point, at least for the next 10 minutes while I'm on this tirade.
Parental guidance has suggested anyone that age under 18.
We're past PG-13 here right now, okay? I'm wasting my entire day watching porn and browsing Facebook. What should I do in my free time, which is more productive? Whoa, wait a minute. He's asking now, what should I do in my free time, which is more productive than porn and browsing Facebook? Now, I'm going to say something to you guys here. It's very, very important that we get this. A lot of the reasons we have such a huge homosexual influence and perversion influence in the United States right now is because of pornography.
That's exactly true.
These young kids, these young boys get on these internet sites, either with an iPhone or with an iPad or with a computer with their parents, unknowingly or on a friend's iPhone. And they start looking at this stuff. And then when somebody says, well, what about gay porn? Let's look at that. Now, let me say something to you. In my entire life, I've never had any inclination to look at gay porn. And I don't know why guys do that. I mean, it's really sick. But I think what happens to them, they're being groomed at a very young age before they know any better.
Oh, yeah.
When they're still in a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old phase, you think, oh, they wouldn't be watching. Yeah, contrary, they do. And so what ends up happening is here, they start watching this stuff and they find it intriguing or whatever they do, or it could be regular porn with women, or it doesn't matter what it is. And they wire their brains to want to look at this stuff all the time. I knew one young lady who got addicted to it. She was looking at it for 12 hours a day. And it completely and totally changed her and turned her into a pervert.
Well, and the issue, the perversion is just one factor of it. And what it does, and then going back to what this kid's saying, is it starts cooking your dopamine receptors so aggressively that you can't get pleasure from anything naturally or any type of the actual aspect of accomplishing something. You don't get anything from it.
And what happens is you have what's called porn-induced erectile dysfunction.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what do you say? What does that mean? That means you're so used to looking at perverted crap all the time on the internet that if you're with your wife, you can't get excited anymore because you've been watching these porn stars. That sums that up. You think, well, I can't believe we're going here today. Well, we're going here today. And I mean, the sad part about it is that when you look at this stuff and you see what happens to these children, this is starting at a very young age. I had this one lady that I went out with here a while back, and she told me, she goes, the reason I broke up with my husband, the reason I broke up with my boyfriend was all they did all day long was play games on their computers.
Yeah.
They won't work. Okay. They want the female to support them. Now, this isn't always that case. It could be the exact opposite of that. But this is what we've done to our society. That's why the people who develop this type of technology won't let their own children use it.
No, they won't.
Because it knows what it does to the brain. All of a sudden, you're getting up in the middle of the night. Oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to use the bathroom. Oh, I wonder if I got any emails. Yeah. Oh, I wonder if I got this.
What's going on Facebook?
No, it's unbelievable. So you get up like a Pavlovian dog with a response that was determined for you in advance, and you've been trained with dopamine and serotonin triggers that now you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're back on it again. Yep. And you go, oh, God, I'm tired, go back to bed. What, 6 o'clock, you wake up, I got to check my phone. People have total anxiety when they lose their telephones.
They do.
They literally have a flip out. They don't know what to do. My phone's gone, and they're running around scurrying the house looking for the phone, and it was left in their car. And, oh, they cannot believe they've lost it, and they go into a panic. They start hyperventilating. They have anxiety. I've seen it. And you know, and the problem is they knew it was gonna do this to us. Now let's go ahead and finish the military, join the military, do something besides watching porn and playing games. Try going outside, jokes another. Maybe you go on a hike. Such complaints are growing increasingly common. Since COVID, Britain has been plagued by the wokeness crisis that is dragging down the public finance, creating a headache for ministers. Many believe that mental health is to blame, with easy access to online porn and video games keeping young people stuck indoors. They don't want to go outside. They don't want to play. They don't want to have ball games. They don't want to do anything. All they want to do is sit there and watch a computer. Most of these men, almost 500,000 males, basically, are 254,000 to 225,000 women. Many of them, approximately 90%, have issues with online gaming and pornography. You realize what this is saying? This means the entire society is going to be a problem pretty quickly if these people can't work when they get out of high school or out of college.
Why do you think they're pushing AI so hard to monitor and control?
This is a secondary problem which came out of COVID, as a lot of work has been distributed online, and now people are working from home, so there's no restriction on what they can watch when they're at home, as supposedly at work, and education has become more diversified. This means more people are gaming, and porn is almost entirely online, given the lad mags have died a death, whatever that, the magazines, like Playboy. We surveyed parents who say they feel their children are online too much, and children who say parents worry too much. There's a disconnect about what too much is. Children are now digital natives, but their ability to calculate risks isn't fully formed yet. We do see students whose relationships with the online world has become unhealthy. Some as young as 7, here we go, who see their relationship with forums as being a real-life interaction worthy of pursuing at the expense of other things.
Say forum?
Forum. Yeah. This can leave students feeling so disconnected from real life that they lose interest in work or further study, the teacher suggests. As he puts it, the online world is a synthetic replacement for real-life interactions. This is exactly what AI wants. They want you hooked into those little goggle things so all day long you watch this filth. This frequency sparks mental health issues down the line, experts say, which in turn damages the prospects for unemployment. A U.S. study in 2017 warned that young men are spending more of their free time on video games and other recreational, that would be porn, computer activities. The economist behind the report said the increased time spent gaming has fueled a drop in working hours from young men between 2000 and 2015. They ain't seen a drop yet, friends. From some, the rise of easy entertainment online, they call the porn entertainment, has made the idea of employment seem a lot of effort for little return. In other words, why in the world can't we just sit around all day and watch porn and play games?
Well,
why do we have to work?
Tying off this, the reason why you made a valid point with this, and this is the issue, that the psychological aspect is the pleasure reward sensors in the brain are being so stimulated with zero effort. That's the problem with porn and a lot of this stuff, because you're not actually having to accomplish anything. You're not actually having to do anything, even not from just a sexual standpoint, but you're getting this massive trove of dopamine without having to put any effort or input into it. So then all of a sudden you go, well, I got to go work for 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. Oh, I'm trying to start my own business. That's way too much work. I could go get pleasure by looking at a computer screen with zero effort at all. You know, I talked to a kid a while back ago. He was 17. He was one of my buddy's sons. He went out. He had a pickup truck. Summer's out of school. Went and bought some stuff that he saved up as far as a lawnmower, weed eater. Started his own lawn company. Had like 15 contracts. Just making a couple $1,000s a month. Drive around doing yards during the summer and then kept it going when his school was going. I said, that's the old way it used to be, that we actually put in effort. We did things. I mean, I remember back when I was a kid that the only time we stayed inside, we had Nintendo 64 that was covered in dust that I bought for, 007 Goldeneye back in the day. For when it was raining out, you couldn't do anything. Other than that, dude, we were in the trees. We were in the lake. We were on the bikes. We were in the groves. We're fighting the water moccasins and the gators.
Trying to stay alive.
Apparently the meth heads fighting the gators.
So that was yesterday's show.
No, but so, I mean, and that's the point. So the generational changes have been so exaggerative now, because now it's like it's the complete opposite. Now nobody wants to go outside. And then the phones made it worse.
Well, I had another friend of mine that I knew. She'd been dating this guy for like a year. And so I'm not going to mention any names here. And the guy was a singer and a dancer, and he was a good-looking guy. He's like 10 years younger than her. And, I mean, he was all of it. But he never would kiss her.
Never would kiss her?
You think, why wouldn't he kiss her? Well, I told her, I said, well, the reason he's not kissing you, he's gay. And she's, oh, no, he's not gay. Okay, well, just whatever. She married him. He's gay. She divorced him. No, I'm not saying that we should be running around kissing everybody. I mean, I don't mean that at all. But they were engaged, and the problem was is that he had porn induced erectile dysfunction, and because all he wanted to do was sit around and watch the porn, and see this is a very bad habit to get into, and if that's a problem that you have, you need to go see some counseling. I mean, you need to get some help with that, because I mean, don't need to be watching that stuff.
And there's also somebody told me too, there's also something you can do now. There's blocks that you can put on your phone and your laptop. So if you have a spouse or a person or a friend or somebody that you can actually give the code to, it has locks on there so you can't access it if you have that severe of a problem. Because it is a point now. The issue is with these stupid phones, these slaves, I don't even know where mine is over here. There's these slave trackers, is some people now, they become so addicted to it, it's like a drug. It's like heroin.
What is dopamine triggers?
It's like a heroin in their pocket. Yeah. You tell them not to use heroin all day. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at it. And they're going, I pull my phone. I don't know what to do. So sometimes, what's great? Sometimes it's going someplace with no service. I enjoyed it. I was up in the mountains with Hunter. There's a spot where I had service.
We have to go up on a hill.
On the hill. You actually have to make an effort to go be able to call somebody. And it makes it kind of enjoyable, though, because then it's like, if I'm not on the hill and I don't want to use my phone, I leave it in the thing.
I can't tell you how many times I go on a date. I just leave the phone in the car.
Yeah. I know. I try to get a hold of you sometimes during work days.
Well, no, I know. I'm not going to be attached to a slave tracker. Yeah. I refuse to do it. I mean, the problem. The problem with all of this is that this technology is a double-edged sword.
It gives you
it lets us come to you right now live. This technology, the internet.
Yeah.
Right now we're streaming to millions of homes in the world right now, and we're talking to you guys about stuff that you're not supposed to talk about anyhow, but we're doing it on this show no matter what. And what ends up happening is here we are with that technology. It's a double-edged sword.
But then you have the same flip side on it.
And that's why they said, in Genesis chapter 6, God said that every thought of every man was evil all of the time, because they were using, in my opinion, pyramids and other types of structures to put an energy field around the planet that was going to be negative, probably pornography, who knows what they were doing and what they were transmitting, all of the time, until everybody's mind became so corrupt, so disgusting and nasty, and all the perversion was everywhere. And that's when God said everybody's thoughts are evil all of the time. That's what they want us to go back to, and they're doing a good job of it, Austin. I hate to say this, but they are.
Well, one of the biggest things I think you can do as far as trying to make an effort on this is keeping the kids off the digital entertainment as long as possible, especially the mobile stuff.
And give it, if you're going to get them a cell phone, do they still sell the stupid flip phones?
I talked to a buddy about it. He actually got one. Couple months
with
back,
no internet access,
but can make phone calls, it can make texts to whatever's in the contact. So basically, if they need to get a hold of him, they need to text him, they can contact him, but there is no internet access on the phone.
I was so funny, but I was a horrible father according to my children now, and what I always said, no telephones.
Yeah, well, I was in the 90s. We didn't really have much phones.
No. Well, the other ones weren't in the 90s.
No, yeah.
And, I would not let them have phones until they were 15, 16 years old. I said, I didn't have a phone when I was 15 or 16 years old. I don't want you guys exposed to this stuff. I don't want you to do it. No iPad usage without us being here. I was so careful all the time, and yet we still had issues with it. But the reality is that you can't be careful enough with your children as far as porn. You can't.
No.
You can't be careful enough with your children as far as iPads. And I get so mad. The other day I was at a restaurant over in Ybor City, yep. and this kid had a doggone iPhone.
Sitting there while they're eating.
I was just staring at it.
Yeah.
And like, he's like 18 months old.
All the time. It drives. And I've said stuff before to parents when I walk over to them. I stopped doing it because it usually gets pretty big altercations because people hate it when you say anything about their kids. I'll take the hint. But it's so – you think about this from a logical standpoint. They're 12 months old, 18 months old, 2 years old, and they can't even go out in public without being dumbed down with digital entertainment in order to just behave for 30 minutes or an hour.
They can't do it. They're going to start screaming.
Do you understand how bad you're negatively reinforcing them as far as with dopamine? Okay, if you sit still and you don't talk and you behave, we'll give you this iPad you can stare at to eat to the whole entire time you're here just to calm down. You're reinforcing them the rest of their life that
hardwiring their brain.
Yes, you're hardwiring their brain the rest of their life. As long as they have a phone, as long as they have an iPad, they'll behave and they'll basically won't do anything.
Well, what happens is when a child is young like that, they're developing literally millions of brain cells all the time. And every time they do something, when they reach for a box of Purple Sticks, they develop brain cells. When they knock the water over on the table, they're developing brain cells. Everything they're doing is because, they always knock water over.
Stetson got a hold of one of these in the kitchen the other day. He got a hold of a box, and he's over there. He gets in there. I'm walking in the kitchen. He's like, oh, he thought he just, he's, ha, 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 just give me that. Just off the floor.
But what it's doing is that's developing a groove or a pattern, and it's connecting dendrites and neurons in your brain. In other words, it's like wiring it, literally wiring it. So the brain knows, okay, when I do this, this is the result. When I do this, this is the result. So when you hardwire iPad or phone usage into a child that young, they can't be unwired.
No, they can't. It's with them the rest of their life.
They're addicted to this stuff for the rest of their life.
Especially when you look at the fact that you got to think what you're doing now. Imagine how invasive the technology is going to be in 10 to 15 years. Think about it for a second. Look at what we have witnessed change with
20 5G years.
And now 6G and the augmented virtual reality and all the stuff we just watched in the last 10 or 15 years. 2035, 2040, and they're teenagers.
You know what? Here's what's interesting. Give me this camera, Rich. You know what? If you go back and you look at Roswell, let's go back to 1947. Let's do Roswell. You go to 1947, you do Roswell, and you read the book by Colonel Corso, basically the day after Roswell. You need to read that book. It's really, really important. Helluride, the former defense secretary in Canada, said that every word of that book was told by him, by one of his top generals, was true. So I thought I'd mention it. So just read that book and get an understanding of what we're dealing with here. And the thing about it is these entities that were piloting these craft, Austin, they recovered some of them, and they were still alive. They were very robotic and incapable of concrete rational thought. They were just basically like little robots. They had been turned into something by something else. Think about this for a second. Is that the goal here for these entities that are running this planet to change us so much that we become like these aliens that they found on those spaceships that can't have concrete thought, that just everything's very robotic?
They just follow orders.
Oh. Think about it for a second. They're like drones. They're like the Borg. They just do what they're told to do. This is what Lucifer's goal. Lucifer doesn't want us to have freedom of will.
That's a fact.
He doesn't want that. He wants us to worship him. He doesn't want to give us the choice between worshiping the Most High God or worshiping him. He wants to control us and manipulate us and dominate us. That's his goal. He comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And don't believe he has anything else in mind for you.
No,
because and that's the thing they said, that these entities, when they found them, the thing that was completely, that ran through all of them, they all constantly lied. Lied about everything. Now think about that for a second. Now that's Lucifer. He's the father of lies. Jesus straight called them out in the New Testament, in the book of John, about how they were the children of the devil. And that he was a liar from the beginning and he was the father of lies. Read it yourself. We've read it before. The problem with all of this stuff is that we've taken the scripture and we've pushed it aside. We go, well, this is using a metaphor. Oh, well, that was thousands of years ago. It doesn't apply to us anymore. Oh, well, it doesn't matter anymore because, you know, we have the internet. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. The books of the Bible were changed. Oh, well. And you get this constant change, change, change. He did the same thing in the Tower of Babel. I covered it on Angel Wars, in which he set up thousands of religions all over the world, which are still here, by the way, in order to get us away from the Most High God, from Jesus. That's why he did this. It's to separate us. So it's not a far stretch, Austin, that he wants us like they are in the Matrix, copper top batteries,
yeah,
sitting in a cubicle, making energy for them to consume as they basically sacrifice us and not have us any creative thought whatsoever and have us living in a digital world that basically is composed of what he wants us to see all the time. You see that with Stanley Kubrick in that movie Eyes Wide Shut, not Eyes Wide Shut, Clockwork Orange. I'm not recommending either of those movies. Of course, it's an R-rated show today, so it is what it is. But if you're going to watch that stuff, it's some really weird stuff. And they forced them through brain entrainment, and he was talking about what the CIA was doing, to see things and to witness things and to view things that they don't want to look at. He forced their eyes open. That's what Lucifer wants to do to all of us. He wants to make us as perverted as he possibly can to separate us from the Most High God.
I'm going to cover this real quick on here, because this is John 8. When it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. The Pharisees challenged him. And one part, if you scroll down here, I'm not going to read the whole thing right now. He went down here, and he said, essentially, he said, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and never been slaves to
anyone. Here we go.
And Jesus said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Is now a slave has no permanent place in the family. And he goes, you're looking like you want to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you, I've seen the Father's presence, and you're doing what you have heard from your father. They said, Abraham is our father. If you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking at ways to kill me. The man who has told you the truth that I've heard from God, Abraham did no such things. You're doing your works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is this language not clear to you? You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not hold the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. And I thought it was, it's always interesting, that statement there.
Now, here they say, now we know that you are demon-possessed.
Yes. I am not demon-possessed. That's the rebuttal.
Okay, now, here's the thing. Now, listen to me for a second. Okay, we got Jesus walking around.
Talking to the Pharisees.
No, before that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the guy's dead in a tomb. Calls him out of the tomb dead.
Yeah.
Walks out. All right, everybody sees it.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, he's healing the dead. He's curing the blind.
Yep.
He's healing the deaf. He's getting rid of leprosy. And he's walking around with energy emanating out of him so powerfully that when the girl who had an issue of blood touched him, he says, who touched me? I felt energy leave me. Now, this is the same Jesus they're talking to right now. And they all know he's done all this.
Right.
So the only thing they can say to him is, you're demon possessed.
Yeah, that's the rebuttal.
Because they're scared. They don't know what to do. Because they know he can do whatever he wants to do. They've seen him do it. And so now they're going, well, he's trying to undermine our leadership with the Jewish people. Therefore, he has to be demon-possessed because he's preaching love. He says, I've come from the Father. Now, let me say something to you. We're watching Jesus walk around. Okay? Now, we don't know who he is, but we see him heal people who are dead. We see him raise the dead. We see him do all these things. And suddenly he says, I come from God. Now, that would get my attention. And you'd be thinking, well, you know, what if this is true? This guy's God. And you think, well, you know, this is really strange. Why is God walking among us, which is what he did? And then he basically says, before, you know, Abraham was, I was. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, now this guy is really telling us some stuff that we don't understand, but this is pretty interesting what he's telling us. Now, here's the thing. No. And so here's what happens. Now Jesus is on Gethsemane, right? And he's praying on the Mount of Olives. And all of a sudden, the soldiers walk up and they say, we're looking for so-and-so. And he goes, I am he. And they all fall down.
Yep.
And then Peter cuts off the guy's ear, and he just picks it up, puts the ear back on. Okay, now think about it for a second. At that point in time, If I was a Roman soldier, I'd be saying, you know, I think I need to leave here right now. This is enough of this. And if you watch the movie, The Risen, it's a great movie. The centurion is sitting there and he sees Jesus die and how he died on the cross. And he says, surely it must be him. It must be true what he's saying. And he's all messed up. So here's the question I have. If Jesus shows up and tells you this stuff and shows you personally who he is, why don't they listen? That's the question I've got, Austin.
Well, just because he calls them out for what they are.
Yeah, he does.
Because your father's listening. With the crazy
because they weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping Satan. They were part of the Kabbalist group that ran the Israelis back then.
This is what they did. He said, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am.
I am.
After he says this, they picked up stones to stone him. Jesus slipped away from the temple ground. So they couldn't rebuttal him. They only said, we're going to stone him.
Well, on top of that, then he says, I can bring down 50,000 angels right now and just smite you guys. Yeah. You got to remember something. He didn't have to go to that cross. He did that to sacrifice his blood to create a scalar energy field for repentance for us for all of eternity to redeem us back to that of the Father. I've covered this in detail before. He did not have to do that. He could have stepped off the cross anytime he wanted to. He was so powerful that when he died, the entire planet started coming apart with earthquakes. I mean, it's unbelievable what happened. And God the Father, in my opinion, had to step in and stop it. The problem with all of this stuff is that we don't want to read the scripture for what the scripture says it is, and we want to try to dilute the scripture. And when we do that, we don't see the power that emanates from Christ. It's the same power that raised him from the dead, and it's the same power that dwells in us. We have to understand that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's why it's so very, very important. And I tell people all the time, If you've got a problem with self-deprecation, you need to stop. In other words, if you're putting yourself down all the time,
that's
you need
no
to stop.
Go, man.
That's
no
a no-go. Now, listen to me. This is very, very important. I have friends like this. Every time you say something to them, they put themselves down. They say horrible things about themselves. Guess what they're doing? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in them, and they are creating an energy field around them that's creating a reality around them that's unbelievably negative.
That's why I talk to people. I've gotten on to friends I have or people that I know, and they're working on financial stuff or they're rebuilding their credit. And you talk to them, how are you doing? I'm doing all right now, but I can't go to. I'm broke.
Yeah, no.
And I said, do you want to be broke? I said, I'll give you a different phrase. Now, I can't go out to dinner tonight on that. I'm really working at stacking my cash back up and getting financially independent. So I'm going to hold off and be financially responsible and not go eat tonight at a dinner. There you go. Granted, that's a long-winded answer. But don't keep running around saying, I can't do this and I can't do that and I'm broke and I'm this and I'm sick and I can't buy this and I can't. Because what will happen is your body will figure out, your mind will figure out a way to make sure all that stuff stays true. It will. Even if it goes on the positive side.
The power of life and death is in the tongue.
I'm extremely blessed. Everything I do is successful. My business is growing. Everything I do is extremely well put together. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Whatever your goals may be. This is why I've told so many people and it's changed their lives. I tell people when they're trying to find a place to start, I said, get out a notebook paper and get a piece of pen. Don't get a stupid iPad. Don't get a computer. Get a notebook pen and pen and write down 25 things that you would like to accomplish. No cap. Meaning, doesn't matter. Financially, doesn't matter. You had anything you want to do. And I will tell you, 90% of the time, majority of people have a hard time hitting 25 things.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do it. So I've got like 10 things down. And they're pretty materialistic, and that's normal. That's what the goal is. And then you want to see what's further. And they start digging. Well, I want to go here. I want to visit this. I want to do this. I want to do this. What it does is it makes you dig down into your subconscious to start looking at things that you desire, what your goals are, what you want to accomplish, whether it be your family, your friends, business, and you actually start thinking about it. When you write it down on paper, you start focusing on it. When you focus on it, your brain starts figuring out, why is it on this paper and why isn't it crossed off and why I've not accomplished my to-do list? And you will start to figure out ways to make it happen. Even if it, right now that you look at it, it's not even feasible. It's not even feasible. You're like, I don't know how to do this. I have no idea how to do this. Your brain will start to figure it out if you start applying it to your daily life. And it goes the same way with what we're seeing now.
The Bible calls that faith. And it says without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
Because he's going to reward those who diligently seek him.
It ties in, though, the negative aspect. If all you do is look at negative stuff on internet all the time, all you do is look at porn, all you do is look at Facebook BS, all you look is at social media, all you do is focus on that, you will also become that as well.
You will.
And you will focus on that. And you will figure out ways to stay focused on that because that's what you're fixated on. So if you got an issue with online, whether it be addiction to social media, whether it be addiction to porn, try to get with somebody that's going to hold you accountable. Try to work on stuff and getting goals reoriented and focus on it, because it does take about 2 to 3 to 4 weeks for most people I've talked to.
21 days.
To rewire your brain to get your dopamine cleaned out, your receptors cleared out, so you can start focusing on things you need to do. But again, everything they're trying to do with social media, 80 to 90% of it is negative. Yes, there's positive stuff that you can do with business, with sales, getting stuff out there. Great. I get it. I use it too on certain things. But be very cautious how you utilize it. Same thing with video games. There's nothing wrong with video games. If you want to utilize a video game as a downtime and you've got a bunch of work done 1 week and you want to go knock some games out, cool story. But use it as a tool, not a crutch. Don't sit in your parents' basement for 10 hours a day and stare at video games and porn and not accomplish anything. That is not productive at all. And so again, but I want to bring this up. The reason why I brought John 8 up is because when he says it, your father is speaking his native language, and that is the father of lies. When he speaks, he lies.
Period.
Everything you're seeing right now in the mainstream media is primarily lies.
Pretty
Everything
much.
We're being told, most cases, is lies. That's why when anybody starts to come out with stuff, like we talked about the Tate brothers, now suddenly, and I don't know what they're involved in. I'm not defending them if they are guilty or not guilty. I don't know. But it's funny how these guys talk about resisting the Matrix and talking about how everything we're being told is a lie, how everything we're being shuttered to. And Andrew Tate talks about this. Get off the porn. It's rotting your brain. Stop focusing on the mainstream media. Get off social media. And then suddenly now, they've got sex charges again. But I said yesterday, isn't it crazy they can go to another country and suddenly they have all these sex rape allegations? But we still can't seem to get the massive 1,000-plus person client list from Jeffrey Epstein, who he was trafficking young girls to, sex trafficking, all across the entire globe. Funny, isn't it? They always have that kind of gameplay. They figure that stuff out so quickly.
Well, no, because remember, he's a liar and he's a father of lies. And whenever somebody tells the truth, they want to go ahead and try to crucify them. I love this verse right here. This is great. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away, along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. I love that. You know, he quotes that verse in that movie, Fury.
That's an
Brad Pitt
scene
does. Because they're all about to die. And he quotes that verse to them. And then all of a sudden they realize that he was like a Bible scholar. He had all stuff memorized, but he never brought that back up. But there at the end, he brings that up. And see, and here's the thing. I have a friend of mine who lived in Tallahassee who was married to this girl who was a mistake. And I remember he told me this story one time, and I'm using third person now. He told me this story one time that he ended up basically in his room praying, and he's praying affirmations. Dear Father, I thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Dear Lord, I thank you that I'm always at the right place in the right time every time. Dear Lord, I thank you that everything I touch turns to gold, and I'm blessed in every area of my life. And his wife walked in and started laughing at him. She was super negative and said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm praying. I'm praying those things that are not as if they were, because that's faith. And with faith, it's possible to please God. And when you give these angels that are ministering spirits something to do, they will set things in course in directions to make sure these things that you speak happen, because it's faith, because you're pleasing God. And the woman started laughing at him. Well, it wasn't a year, 2 years later, they were divorced. And this man went on to accomplish great things with his life. Now, the woman never did, never had children, never did anything. The problem is all a question of attitude, isn't it? You know, if we write down the scriptures that are affirmations, you can go online right now and you say, positive scripture affirmations. I commit my plans unto the Lord, therefore they will succeed. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will be glad in it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you have those types of thoughts in your mind all the time, I'm always at the right place in the right time every time. My health is fantastic and I feel great. I mean, it's amazing to me how much energy I have, and my health is always better every single day. I wake up energized every day. You pray those types of thoughts instead of self-deprecating, all of a sudden all those things start to happen. Remember, every word you speak creates an energy field around you. So put a comma behind your sentence and say, because that's the way I want it to be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I'm always at the right place at the right time every day because that's the way I want it to be. That's how you live your life, and you will be shocked at what happens. Suddenly, you'll find yourself disassociating from people that are of the devil.
It's a fact.
Now, you think for, I'm not picking on your friends, but the people that are going to self-deprecate and tear themselves down and tear you down all the time. I can't stand it when I will go out with a husband and wife, and they put each other down in front of me. I mean, Sharon and I used to complain about that all the time. We immediately stopped going out with those people when they do that.
Yep.
Because what's the point? If you can't build each other up, if you can't encourage one another, if you can't be part of the solution and you're part of the problem and you're ripping into each other all the time, all you're going to do is destroy your marriage,
well,
period.
And add on to that, that's a very, very important topic because I have seen this personally and dealt this personally. If you start hanging around with couples that act like that and talk to one
another,
you'll
start doing it.
You'll start doing it with your spouse or your girlfriend. I've seen it, personally seen it. So all of a sudden, it feeds off the negative energy you feed off and you don't even realize. Suddenly, you start getting an argument with them later on about, and you're like, why are we arguing? Why are we talking crap to each other? You just heard it for hours on end at dinner.
Well, what they want to do, they want to say, well, it's just sarcasm. I'm kidding. Yeah. No, they're not. No, they're not. No. Sarcasm is never a joke. No. Sarcasm is you using a joke to say how you really feel, and many times it's incredibly negative about somebody
99%
else.
Of the time. There's sometimes you can cut up about something if you're goofing off. You got to have a sense of humor. You can't be so rigid where somebody says one thing to you and you get your feelings on your sleeves. But when somebody starts putting you down or saying, oh, it's a joke, and they say it over and over and over and over again, that's not funny anymore. That's not a joke, and that isn't something that should be in any.
Well, like all of a sudden you're in public and they go, you know, you got a nose the size of a bread loaf.
Yeah.
And you're like, my nose isn't that big. Oh yeah, your nose looks like a bread loaf. It's awful. And you're like, this is horrible. Yeah, my nose. I got to get a nose job now.
In all defense, I just like breathing free air. That's why my nose is so big.
For you guys who know us, you know the inside joke here. But the point is, you don't let somebody else put you down in public. You don't do that. You don't let somebody else tear into you in public. Ladies, gentlemen, listen to me. Husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, don't correct each other in public. All it does is makes you mad. If somebody says something you don't like, tell them later when they're by yourself with you. Hey, I think you were wrong about that. Okay, but don't correct them in public. No, you're wrong. I know women and I know men who do that. Every time their wives or husbands say something, they've got to correct them and put them down.
I've seen that too.
No, it's horrible.
It's honestly awkward for you too. Like if you're around a couple and they do that, you're like, well, that's awkward. That was completely unnecessary. Why'd they say that to each other?
No,
it makes you feel weird too. Yeah. Like,
you know, Sharon and I accomplished so much in our marriage, and we always built each other up. We were a team. You know, team bro or team health masters. And that's what we did all the time. We always encouraged each other. We always built each other up. We never corrected each other in public. We never did any of that stuff because we wanted to show, we wanted to show a solid front to everybody that we were around, that they knew that we were who we said we were, and that we were going to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that we were going to do the best we possibly could to be all part of the solution and not part of the problem. It's so important that we all understand that, because guys, if you don't do that, if you don't support one another, your marriage will start to crumble. The woman goes and says, I'm going to go out and get a PhD. The guy goes, okay, fine, I'll help you do it. Now all of a sudden she goes, I don't need to date you anymore. You're a peasant. I have a PhD.
Oh, gosh.
Well, how'd that work out for you? And I've seen that too.
So have I.
Or the husband goes, will you help me get through medical school? And the woman goes, yes, I'll work my fingers to the bone. So he gets out of medical school, he finds a young intern.
Yeah.
Wife's gone. And you're like, what the heck just happened? I've got three kids with you. You know, I've worked myself to the bone, put you through medical school. Now you decide to bail out on me. Don't let that kind of stuff happen in your marriage. Build each other up, encourage one another, love one another, support each other. Walk beside your spouse.
Yes.
Don't make her walk behind you like she's a dog
hold
on a
hand.
Leash.
Hold her hand.
Yeah,
she's
your partner. Take your arm or hold your hand. Be a gentleman. I see that all the time.
And walk on the roadside.
Oh,
excuse my language. I see that all the time. They got the girl standing on the doggone curb and the guy's walking like he's a complete idiot.
Because he's an idiot.
I'm like, bro, you have no situational awareness. She's fronting point on the road. If there's a problem, there's an issue, there's something, an accident, or there's a robbery, she's the first line. What are you doing? Get your butt out front.
And, you know, walk beside her, hold
yes.
her hand, take her arm, so, you know, walk point with her. Pull her chair out when she sits
yes.
down. Stand when she walks into a room. Don't be some putz. Treat your woman like you care about her. She's a Stradivarius violinist worth hundreds of millions of dollars, right? And she basically is that precious to you. Why do you want to throw her in the corner in the back of her seat and say, ah, get in the back, woman. I don't want to talk to you. Treat her like she's precious. Women, treat your husband like he's precious. Treat each other with respect. Your life will go great. Then you'll have what's called the true love. kind of like a Disney movie before they got all child
got real gay.
Yeah. But like Snow White, Prince Charming comes and kisses her and wakes her up. And they have a true love. You know, that's what you strive for.
You know, it sucks. I'll say this. This is a total side note. It really sucks that Disney's gone so woke and so gay. Because they actually, some stuff they used to have, some of the rides back in the day.
They were great.
I had good memories of Disney. I tried to go back years ago and almost got arrested. And they took all the rides down. Now it's just gotten really gay. Anyways, side note, I want to cover this. This guy brought up last night, though, switching gears real quick. Tariffs have been temporarily reinstated by the appeals court, now reversing the lower court order. This is a big debate with these tariffs right now, guys. And I was talking to an automotive dealer yesterday. And it brings in...
So unstable.
And he told me that he's basically European cars. And he said they're not sure what to do right now because they're bringing cars in, they're building cars, they're speccing cars, but nobody knows if suddenly there's going to be a European tariff that pops back up again at 25%. Because remember, Audi had that problem. They made it to the port. And all of a sudden, Audi held the vehicles at the port. And they said, dude, we can't put 25% tariffs on these cars. You know, people ordered them. It was a $60,000, $70,000 car. Now suddenly you've got a $15,000, $20,000 tariff on some of these cars, depending on the prices on them. And this is a serious, it's unstable. So just be aware of it. But I saw this the other day, and I want to cover this because it's back and forth all over the place right now. And also, positive news, while Skittles is working on getting their food coloring out of their products, which they should already have, the food coloring, don't eat Skittles. The food coloring is absolutely horrific. One big thing about Skittles that they're looking at now is they're removing titanium dioxide. And this is a big deal. Chemical identified has caused significant problems and linked to cancer. Health Secretary R.F. Kennedy said the candy manufacturer on 27th that they are pulling titanium dioxide. I said, you don't need titanium dioxide to make a rainbow. And that's the doggone fact. There's a lot of products, a lot of junk food, a lot of just candy that has titanium dioxide in it. And the problem with this is this stuff has been linked to all types of health problems over the long run. So if you're going to get candy, try to get some stuff that's fairly clean. In fact, it's better just not to eat it, especially stuff that causes cavities like Skittles. If you want a treat, try to get some organic ice cream. That's at least something that's a really good, fun treat for kids that you can still get some clean stuff now. But read the ingredients because a lot of stuff on the market is trash. But it's crazy to me. Titanium dioxide has been in Skittles for like 30 years. And now with RFK Jr. coming in, I mean, he's been lopping some heads. Skittles now goes, we're pulling it out, and we're going to be pulling the dyes out here soon, too. So, I mean, I have to say, from a health standpoint, I think we're actually making some leeway, bro.
And let's talk about health thing with Donald Trump. Trump shows signs of cognitive decline, says speech expert. He's been slurring his words some during some of the speeches.
I think a lot of it's fatigue, too. He doesn't sleep a lot.
A lot of it's diet sodas. They say he drinks like a gallon a day.
Still?
Yeah.
And I wish RFK Jr. would jump on.
Oh, wait, well, he fed RFK Jr. McDonald's.
Donald's in that photo, right, with him, I know.
Donald Trump's rambling speeches and stream of conscious press briefings could be symptoms of his cognitive decline. The warning comes as Trump and his aides are seeking a congressional probe into Joe Biden's mental state. Yeah. Now, Trump, who is the oldest president ever, basically is slurring his word, and they're saying that he may have issues with early onset dementia. Okay, here's what I'm going to say to you. I've got a friend of mine who basically knows Donald Trump personally, and he goes to Mar-a-Lago every year for New Year's.
Right.
And he sent me a video of Donald Trump and him, and Donald Trump is talking, and Donald Trump is slurring his words almost as if he's drunk. Now, yeah. I know Donald Trump doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink. Okay?
But I also know that my friend, who's a top evangelist, got like 40,000 members in his church, he ends up basically in a situation where he was drinking those Red Bulls with the aspartame.
The Red Bull Zero.
Now, listen to me, friends.
Stay away
from this. Is really important. And he ended up slurring his words while he was speaking. Finally, I called him up and I said, what are you on, dude? You're slurring your words. He said, well, I've been hitting the Red Bull with the aspartame. I said, you can't do that. Aspartame is a neurotoxin. Read the article that I wrote. Basically, it says aspartame, a chronicle of crime, on the website. Don't drink diet sodas. They cause neurocognitive decline, and they will cause you to slur your words in high enough concentrations. They contain phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and paint thinner, methanol. It is not healthy. Don't do it. Don't ever drink diet anything. They're unbelievably bad for you, and especially for cognitive function. So be real, real careful, guys, and understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we basically, you know, can be the best we possibly can, but we've got to take care of the body that God gave us. It's so important, Austin.
That's a fact.
You know, pray like it's all up to God and work like it's all up to you and eat clean as much as you possibly can, at least 90% of the time. Now, the other 10%, if you want to go out and have whatever, it doesn't matter. But not all the time. No. Don't be doing that.
Like I said, 80-20, 90-10. You stay on that, you'll stay in pretty good shape and healthy. The problem with it is most people don't do that. It's like 80-20, 90-10 flipped.
Yeah.
They eat 10% of the time, they'll eat a salad. 90% of the time, they're going to diet sodas and Big Macs.
I've got a friend of mine. He's a good friend. I love the brother. I mean, I've known him for a long time. He's very overweight.
Yeah.
But every time he comes over here, he eats a salad.
Yeah.
And I looked at him one time. I started laughing at him. I said, dude, I said, what are you doing? I said, I know you don't eat salads all the time, or you wouldn't have a 60-inch waistline. I said, you know, oh, no, this is how I eat. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not how you eat. And see, don't pretend like you're so.
Don't pretend.
Don't do
yeah.
it. No, just figure out a way to eat clean all the time. Chicken and vegetables, it'll fill you up. Fish and vegetables, it'll fill you up. Beef and vegetables, they will fill you up. Yesterday, we're at the office. You made some beef for us.
I had ground beef and rice.
Yeah, it was great. You think, well, you guys do that a lot?
Yeah.
We actually all the time.
And ground beef and rice with some green beans, hot sauce, and mustard. I mean, it gets the job done, guys. It's nothing fancy. After, you know, you eat it for years, you just get used to it. The problem is too many people, and I think this has to do with so much stuff with people having to be constantly stimulated now. Everybody wants to have this big, elaborate stimulation every time they do something. I'm going to
entertain.
I'm going to drink some fluids. I need my beverage to entertain me. It needs to sparkle. It needs to bubble. It needs to be sweet. No, just drink water, dude. It's not that big of a deal. I'm going to eat. I need to have this big elaborate meal. I need to have my dessert with it. No, just eat some chicken and rice. It's not that big of a deal. You want to eat something occasionally that's fun? Sure, enjoy it. And I will promise you this, because I remember this from bodybuilding competing. You will appreciate cheat meals on a whole nother level when you actually start eating super clean.
Now, I don't think they understood what you said. He said cheat, C-H-E-A-T.
Cheat meals.
You will appreciate a cheat meal when you start eating clean 90%, 95% of the time.
And all of a sudden,
you go out and have a hamburger. You're like, oh, my gosh.
For example, I remember that. I remember one of the shows that I did. When it was like fish and rice on this contest prep with broccoli. Blah. After the show, when I went and got a big old double cheeseburger.
I was there with you.
A milkshake. And I'm telling you right now, I still remember that meal as being one of the most satisfying burgers I've ever eaten in my life. Why? Because I had so much deprivation of negative food that all I ate was clean, clean, clean. When you eat it, it's so much more enjoyable because you earned it and it was something.
But don't make it 90% of the time.
90% of the time, man.
Or you'll be 500 pounds.
Yeah. I'll get in this article on Monday more. You brought it up. It says the movement facing uphill battles, Trump administration wages war on organic agriculture. Health Commissioner HHS RFK Jr. is releasing a report reaffirming its commitment to protecting public health, reducing toxic exposure.
Well, a lot of these organic crops aren't organic.
I know. And that's what they're coming out now. It says Kennedy is working to advance these values. The rest administration is pushing a pro-chemical, pro-corporate, pro-industrial agricultural agenda. So RFK Jr. is actually fighting an uphill battle because the Trump administration basically is pro big agro.
He eats McDonald's all the time, and he drinks a gallon of diet sodas a day.
I know. I have no rebuttal. I have no rebuttal for that.
I mean, he's slurring his words.
Yeah, and that's the problem too. You eat like that, you drink all that diet soda, and you're not. He didn't sleep a lot because he's always traveling. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's a fast way to wear down your system.
Well, those diet sodas keep you awake.
With
all caffeine.
And plus,
you're dealing with phenylalanine, which causes brain issues. You're dealing with aspartic acid, which eats holes in the brain. And on top of everything else, you got paint thinner in there.
Yep.
I mean, why do you want to drink paint thinner?
Yep.
It cannot be made non-poisonous, by the way. It's a neurotoxin.
No.
It causes blindness. It causes optic nerve and auditory nerve degradation. It's unbelievably bad. Read the article that I wrote, Aspartame, a Chronicle of Crime. Take it and text it to yourself.
Yep.
And send it to all of your friends. Have them read that.
If you want an alternative, a great alternative to basically, sodas.
Purple Six.
Or basically Red Bulls. Man, this hit the attention factor with the acai. This will get you going on another level. Clean, good, healthy energy.
Don't take that attention factor past 9 o'clock in the morning.
Don't take this whole stack late at night.
Don't do it. You won't sleep.
This is a morning time or even lunchtime you can get away with it. I've done this a few times. That's my favorite stack.
I can't do it at lunch. I have to do it before 8 in the morning.
Oh, I've done it for Hagman's show.
Woo, boy, I can't sleep when I do that.
You don't. You don't sleep. That's the problem. You get a lot of work done until 1 or 2 in the morning. You can be back up for a show first thing. Yeah. So, again, this is a great stack if you're trying to get an alternative. Stay away from those Red Bulls, those energy drinks. Not only are a lot of the ingredients in them unbelievably toxic, the Rawls are out of China. I mean, all those Rawls, they're all chemical-based. Cyanide, cobalamin, come on, guys. This stuff is clean energy, real nutrients that feed your cells, push your body naturally. So be sure to check it out, Team Health Masters. If you need anything, collagen's on sale this weekend. Be sure to check it out. And the new articles, posted a few new ones on here. Harrison wrote one yesterday on the article.
Great product.
So, yeah, it's about testosterone. The three different testosterone supplements we have to really increase your testosterone. Have a great weekend, my friends. Appreciate y'all. We'll talk to you again Monday as always.
Hey, I love you. Got to pray for you again. You guys are amazing to me. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for peace, speaking positive stuff over us. I really love you guys a lot. I'm speaking in church on Sunday morning if you want to hear me speak. And I'm just going to be reading some scripture. So if you want to tune into the Lutheran Church in Winter Haven, then you can. It'll be a 10:45 service. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And we will talk to you again on Monday.